Welcome back. Welcome back. And if you are joining me for the first time, hey, thanks for coming. Welcome back. Thanks for coming. It's another episode of Somewhere in Between with Fancy. I am Fancy. Yay. I've got a great show planned for you today. I was super pleased when this guy agreed to be on the show because, as you may know, if you fuck with it, you might know. And if you don't, here's your introduction. One of my goals for Somewhere in Between is to really highlight the lives, if it's business, if it's a hobby, of people doing dope shit. You know, and especially melanated people doing dope shit. And when I initially met my guest for tonight's show, I was really inspired by the way that Bougie has been able to take a passion of his and turn it into a profitable business. And despite whatever trials and tribulations he goes through, he continues to work through it. So for me, as a business owner, and someone that wants to continue to grow and build my business, that's a huge example for me to see. So I was really, really pleased when he decided to spend his time with me. We talked for like 3 hours. So I'm going to chop and screw some of the interview and package it together. I'll probably put out multiple episodes of this particular interview. So I'm really excited that you chose to listen tonight. So before I get into the interview, I want to do what we always do. Let's do a nice cleansing breath because, you know, you're here with me now. And I got to make sure that you're nice and comfortable, right, lovers? So let's take a deep inhale. I want you to inhale. Breathe in possibility. Breathe in prosperity. Breathe in wealth and love. And breathe out negativity, breathe out drama, breathe out bullshit, breathe out presumption. Let's do it again. And this time I want you to take a slight pause in between your inhale and exhale. So let's inhale on the count of three. One, two, three, inhale. Inhaling love, inhaling prosperity, inhaling ambition. Little pause here. And now exhale. Exhale negativity. Exhale self-doubt. Exhale ignorance. How about that? Thanks so much. I hope you're feeling better. Do I have any news? I don't really think I have any news. This episode is kind of newsy in general. So I don't think that I'm going to add any news segment. And I do have a strand of the episode segment, but it also kind of gets segued by a dope-ass conversation. So I'm going to post it as the strand of the episode, but it really is a conversation about just cannabis in general. I don't know. This was just a dope-ass episode, so I hope you fuck with it. And if not, I don't really care. But anyway, shout out to Bougie Lungs for doing this episode. It's one of my favorites. I can't wait to continue to work with him. You definitely are our family, and I definitely fuck with you in a dope way, okay? So enjoy the episode, family. Please let me know what you think about it. Thanks so much for the love on Instagram also. I asked for questions to prepare for this interview, and I got a lot of love, so keep up the great work, lovers. Yay! We're doing a great job with the second season. So, without further ado, let's get to the interview. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to follow me and, you know, like this on, you know, whatever platform that you're listening to me on. Also, don't forget that your sponsorship could have been right here as we go into this episode. I just want you to keep that in mind. It could have been, but it's not. It still could be. Reach out to me. Anyway, let's get to it. Peace. Peace, lovers. I just wanted to jump in before we get into this episode really quickly. Number one, we were having some difficulty recording. Our conversation kept getting cut off. So if it sounds like it is spliced oddly, I really apologize. It was weird having to stop and start. But really, though, we were having this revolutionary-ass conversation. I highly doubt this was by coincidence, so we were having problems. But whatever, just saying, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. The second thing is that at the same time, I'm going to release both parts. This is going to be a part one and a part two to this episode since it's so long. I didn't want to keep you. I didn't want to, like, kidnap your ears for a long period of time. So I hope you listen to both episodes at one time. But if you don't, it's all good. You know, that's your prerogative. But anyway, enjoy. Peace.
Like you were saying, about the importance of this conversation and just building the cannabis community, like at the end of the day, that's really one of the main goals for Somewhere in Between, is to build community and find and really talk to people, especially melanated people, about what they're doing and what businesses they're doing and what hobbies they have. So I was really, really excited when you said that you would be interested in doing an interview.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to kind of introduce you first. So guys, I met Bougie because I was looking for something to do, and I was on Instagram and I came across the Sunday pizza party. And it's a few things that I personally look for in a pop-up shop. I really don't like to feel rushed in a pop-up shop, like the situation when you got to run in and look at stuff real quick and then leave. It's no real way to sit down or enjoy the product. It's no real way to, like, talk to the distributor. I kind of avoid situations like that. So when I came to the Sunday pizza party, I felt extremely welcome. I really liked the way everything was set up. I really enjoyed the location. It's a really special location, especially how you really get a chance to have interaction with your distributor, ask questions. The quality is always choice. And yep. I think the first time I came, you and I think we had like a brief interaction, and then a week or so later, I needed something and you sent me an address, and I thought I was going somewhere random, but I was coming to your home. So I was like, that's dope. When I initially asked you if you would be interested in doing the podcast, a lot of people say, like, yeah, I'm interested, but you actually followed through. So I was like, yo, like, this is family, first of all.
Yeah.
And also, like, the more that we speak, the more that I see that our visions intertwine and align. And it's really exciting to see somebody with progressive views in a cannabis community. So with all that said, I would like to introduce Mr. Bougie Lungs to Somewhere in Between.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone.
So Bougie, tell me, first of all, where did your name come from? Where did Bougie Lungs come from?
Okay, well, I've always had a specific taste into, you know, the type of cannabis that I was, you know, purchasing before I became a vendor and everything. So, you know, I would always go purchase the best, you know, like I will pay, you know, I'm paying if you want $60-$70 for the best, I'm paying for it, because that's how my lungs, you know, I can't smoke anything that's, you know, like I can't smoke no lows, I can't smoke no mids, I gotta smoke something strong because of my post-traumatic stress syndrome, you know. And so, you know, like I'm a heavy indica smoker, but when I got into the pop-ups, I got educated into different types of cannabis, whether it's sativa, hybrids, or indicas, you know, like, and I just, you know, I got Bougie Lungs. I got a specific taste for marijuana. So, you know, that's where it comes from, because I always smoke the good stuff. And, you know, people in the streets that I smoke with or, you know, walk past smoking, they always like, that smell good. That's strong. So, you know, I treat my lungs like, you know, like I treat myself like a king, you know, so I'm gonna smoke good, you know, like, so, you know, I got Bougie Lungs. I can't hit anything.
Mm-hmm. As you should. I really love that. I really, really love that. So, for the listeners, give us a background. What, first of all, I love to ask everybody this question that I interview. Do you give me your first memory of your first smoke session? How old were you? Paint the picture for me. And also, let me just ask before that, are you smoking anything right now? Have you smoked anything recently?
Yes. I'm currently smoking on some pink Slurpee.
So you said you were smoking pink Slurpee?
Yeah.
Dope. Okay, I'm smoking gelato. So okay. We were talking about your first smoke session and what that experience was like.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I've been smoking since a very young age. I had stopped because I had a cousin that used to come get me all the time when I was younger. And he was a weed smoker. So, he would smoke around me. And then one day he just taught me, gave me the J and taught me how to smoke. So, ever since then, he would come pick me up and, I would always ask him, man, you got some weed? And I'm young, I'm young. And he was wrong for that. But, I thank him now that I'm older because, after all that I done been through, marijuana really helps me, relax my mind, relax my body, relax my soul, helps me put me in a state to where I'm totally comfortable with myself. I can be myself. I can let my true self out and be, as productive and positive as possible.
That's fantastic.
So I was pretty young. I was pretty young smoking. I started out young, real young.
Okay. So I know that you had mentioned earlier PTSD. Can you walk me through how you went from using it? Do you see a difference between you using it recreationally and you using it medicinally?
No, I can't really say that there's a difference because when I was using it recreationally, I would always get into, I would always relax and get into a meditative state, because mm-hmm. I meditate a lot. I've been doing that since I was 11. So, I'm a very professional meditator and, it's like marijuana lubricates that feeling right there between the real world and, my inner thoughts and my, everything that helps me bring out the positivity. So.
No, I 100% agree with that. I kind of like to think of it as cannabis being kind of like the bridge between the metaphysical and the physical worlds.
Exactly.
Kind of helping you understand. I really feel like a lot of people, it's very arrogant to think that we understand every part of every dimension that we're inhabiting, right? And I think that when you interact with the plant, it kind of reminds you that we are a small part of a larger part of the universe, right? It expands your thought process. I think it puts you in a better place to be able to think deeply and more cognitively, personally.
Exactly. I can't lie, cannabis has helped me find myself. Over the years and me meditating while while it's in my system and everything, it really helped me become the guy, become the man that I am today. So, I just love it and I'll never stop, it's a job that I have to get, if I have to stop smoking for a job, I'll let that job go before I let marijuana go. I'm not an addict or anything like that, and I'm not hooked on it. But mm-hmm. I would just rather continue to smoke because
we talked about. So one thing that I really appreciate that you're talking about is the power of meditation, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds about meditation on this particular episode. Mm-hmm. I do plan to have another episode specifically about that. But what benefits have you found in particular between understanding meditation and the use of cannabis?
The benefit is that I'm no longer as angry as I used to be. I used to be angry at the world and you know, I used to be basically, I used to be a monster. Like, that's what people say, like, you know, man, you're a monster, man. You act like a monster, you know, like why you act like that? And, you know, like after so many people asking me, you know, and me getting that reputation in my neighborhood as being a guy that, you know, that don't have no sense, you know, like I kind of like that wasn't, it was me, but it wasn't me. Like, you know, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Okay. So, you know, like, but when I started getting older and I started, you know, I had my kid, had my baby and everything, I started to look at things differently as, you know, as, and I started to take things more seriously as me meditating off of marijuana. So, you know, like, that's why I smoke strong marijuana strains, because, you know, like it helps me to meditate and to find that person that I want to be, not the person that I, you know, that like, no, I'm sorry. It helps me to find the person that I need to be, not that I want to be, you know? So, you know, it's just great. You know, it's the benefits of meditating and cannabis at the same time, you know, it's like it helps you to find yourself, like, well, me anyway, because I'm an open-minded person and I believe in, you know, believe in a lot of things that, you know, what you do can come back on you.
For sure.
So, you know, so, you know, like I just take that in stride and I use, you know, I use to help me be who I am on the inside. So, you know, it brings the inner me out.
That's what's up.
The best of me. Yeah, it brings the best of me out. That's what I can say. It brings the best of me out.
So tell me about your transition into the business of cannabis. And what were some of your early thoughts about wanting to get into the business, and how did it all come about?
Okay, well, I used to work for this place called the History of Cannabis Museum. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Yeah, it's on Georgia Avenue. I believe it's still in operation and everything, but it's on Georgia Avenue. I don't have the exact address, but it was called the History of Cannabis Museum. And I was out there, you know, passing out flyers and, you know, educating people on, you know, on cannabis, you know, like the chemical part and all of that. And I ran across this guy, you know, and I'm very grateful to him because, you know, it's the spaceship. You ever heard of the spaceship?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was working there with them guys. Okay. And, you know, like I left the History of Cannabis Museum and went to work with the spaceship guys and everything. And from there, from that setup that they had and from, you know, the whole thing, I just fell in love with, you know, fell in love with this profession. And I started out on the door. So, you know, like I started out working the door, checking people, you know, checking their invites and everything. But my bigger goal was to become, you know, a vendor. So, you know, I just stayed down until I came up. So, you know, like I just did what was needed of me to do. You know, I played my position and, you know, gradually I made my way up through the ranks. And now, you know, like I'm kind of known in the cannabis, you know, in the cannabis community, not for just, you know, not for just smoking good weed, not for just working the door, not for just being, you know, that I'm known for being a good person.
So for people that are not familiar, can you describe the spaceship?
Man. Out of this world, like I used to just go in there and sit for hours and like everybody, it'd be like a million people and packed inside this place, vendors, you know, clients, everybody would come in there. Like from the time the door opened to the time the door shut, it was just, you know, like just smoke. Like we used to have a building. So we used to smoke so much in there that we used to have outside of the place on 18th Street of Adams Mall. Mm-hmm. That's all you could smell all the way up and down the block was marijuana. And it was just like, it just blew my mind because of the setup. The setup was great. And I got to give a big shout out to the guys over there at Canstadam.
Okay.
You heard of them? Oh, okay. Canstadam is a it's like a school. It's like a college for cannabis.
Okay.
You know, it helps you get your, you know, get your knowledge up into growing and to cultivating, and you know your knowledge into what type of strains is the seeds. You know, it's just a cannabis, you know, course.
Well, I mean, definitely things like that are needed because it's a lot of people that don't really understand the science of what they're enjoying or what they're reaping the benefits of. And just how many how many ways you can actually benefit from it. But going to get some more information, and when we publish this episode, we'll have links to things that we're talking about. So we talked about so here's a question. And I'm asking you these questions for a reason, especially describing the spaceship and this next question, because people ask me, like, you know, they haven't been to pop-up shops. And they're like, so what's it like? And it's like, I can't really describe how magical it is, especially the really good ones. But how do you describe the cannabis culture to people outside of the city?
Oh, man. It's just like the best thing that ever happened to DC. It's the best thing that ever happened to the residents of DC, because people out of town, I advise people out of town, if you're going to come to DC for, you know, to party with us at our cannabis parties, come with a squad, like, you know, like, because it's so much here where, you know, like, it's so many different strains, there's so many different levels, like, it's just wonderful in our pop-ups.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, one way that I can describe our pop-ups is, you know, like, very, it's like a pharmacy, a display, because, you know, like, I don't look at it as like recreational. I look at it as medicinal. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Even if you do it recreationally, it's still medicinal. You're still using it for a medicinal reason, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you know it or not. You really are using, like, I got a friend, an Army vet friend, right? You know, well, he not Army, he's Marine and Navy. Okay. So, you know, he got out once from the Navy, and then he went back in to the Marines. Yes. Okay. So, he suffered from the same thing that I suffered from, post-traumatic stress syndrome and everything. So, you know, he just moved to D.C. So I took him to the pop-up at the pizza place. Okay. Man, you talking about, He never seen anything like it. Like, you know, the surrounding, you know, like the vibe of the place, you know, everybody falls in love with the pop-ups. Now, one thing that I can say is that all pop-ups aren't good.
That is
bad. Yep. So, you know, I advise people from out of town, you know, like, if you go follow me on Instagram, like, you go to, like, you're going to safe
yeah.
pop-ups. Yeah. You know, like real pop-ups.
Yeah. I think the pop-ups, it's a pop-up for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, if you're looking for a pop-up that is kind of chill, kind of low-key, you're going to find that. If you're looking for something a little bit more ratchet, you're going to find that. If you're looking for something that's got more of a family vibe, you're going to find that. But just be cautious of where you're going, because you don't want to go prepared for the wrong environment. I guess is
you can't, or you're going, or you know, you're not going to have that experience that you should have.
Exactly, that's the perfect way to put it. You're not going to have the experience that you want to have, because you're expecting something totally different. That's the perfect way to put it. So let's see. So we talked about DC culture. So what you transitioning from working the door, right? And then you getting your feet wet as far as like learning more on the education side of cannabis. What were some of your obstacles with you turning this passion into a profitable business?
So say that again.
That you face turning this passion that you have for cannabis into a profitable business?
The only problems that I say that will really face you is making sure that your product is, you know,
quality.
You know, like you got to have great quality. It doesn't matter what type of quantity you got. If you got great quality, you're gonna get clientele like you're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the clientele is the hardest part.
Okay. And getting your repeat clientele, people that trust you and refer you and different things like that.
Client. Well, we don't call them customers. We call them clients and everything. Like, you got to have, like, this is just like a retail business. Like, your customer always come first. Mm-hmm. Your clients always come first and everything. Got to have that customer service skills. You got to be able to talk to people. You got to be able to read people. And, you know, that's just, you know, like when you do that, you're able to, you know, create a bond with people that trust you. You know, they'll trust you. And, you know, as long as your quality is good, you're there. Yeah, so
you can have customers.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. One of the things that I really love about the pizza party pop up, and a few other pop ups is that I love the sophistication of the experience of you being able to go and shop. You shopping with different vendors, those vendors being educated on what they are providing you and how that product is going to be, right? So, considering what you just said, bringing that professional edge to cannabis and your work reflecting that, how do you see the business of cannabis growing for you individually within the next 5 years?
Within the next 5 years, I plan to be a millionaire. So, you know, like, I'm going to keep working and I'm going to keep doing what I got to do to make sure that I set up, you know, that I set my son up for something that he can use for the rest of his life, so he won't have to struggle like I did. So what I do is not just for me, it's for my son, for real, you know, for my babies, you know, I want them to have something so they won't have to struggle, set up school funds and all of that. So, you know, like, I'm doing it for a real purpose, not just to have money, you know, like, I want the money so that way, you know, I can help pay my babies, you know, pave the way for my babies. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So in what ways do you see the cannabis industry being able to benefit people on the education side and the business side?
On the education side?
Yeah, both education and business.
Okay, well, one, the cannabis business has always been, you know, been booming, because, you know, even before we got the laws laxed and stuff on the cannabis side in DC, you know, it was a lot of cannabis going around in DC. So, you know, so, but I'm sorry, I lost topic.
No, so that, my question was, how do you see the cannabis industry being able to benefit people both educationally and on a business side? So what types of jobs do you see being offered? What kind of job training? How do you see, if it's taxed, in what ways can cannabis support the community being taxable? Different things like that.
Okay, in that way, you know, like, we got our schools, we got recreational centers, you know, we got, like, just plain old people in the neighborhood. Yeah, infrastructure.
The second part is available right now. So click it. Click it right now. Play part 2. I'll see you over there. Peace.